sent a letter to the president saying he should veto the bill because it's fiscally irresponsible. Owners of cannabis companies told the Senate committee they're forced by federal law to operate as a cash-only business. More from USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
Having a business that's cash-only makes it difficult to pay taxes, and, of course, it also creates safety concerns. But an opponent of marijuana legalization said changing banking laws would allow the industry to vastly expand marijuana sales at the expense of health concerns. The Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs debated the challenges for cannabis firms to use the banking system. Although 46 states and the District of Columbia allow some form of cannabis sales in use, it's still illegal under federal law. Senators Cory Gardner of Colorado and Jeff Merkley of Oregon have proposed a bill to protect banks that service cannabis-related businesses in states where it is legal. It would provide the cannabis industry access to the banking system. Because of federal law, there are barriers for the cannabis industry to obtain any financial services. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Thank you, Wendy. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to the Hack 100 and Radio Show. I'm your host, Jim Minadio, and I'm the president of ZeroSurge, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting your sensitive electronics. With ZeroSurge, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. So for today's show, the theme is robots. I pulled some news from the world of robotics to discuss, and today's guest is Mark Howe, who you don't see in the chair right now, but he is on the way. He did call me. He's got stuck in New Jersey's lovely Route 202 traffic, and so I suspect he'll be here shortly. So he'll pop in when he pops in. He's the sales manager for the Knotts Company, which is a company that designs, sells, and services robots used by manufacturers. And as always, I'll end the show with some historical story and to tie it into the theme of today's show. It will be about the origin of the word robot. So before we get started, we'll do a quick commercial break. The weather, before we do the commercial, do weather. It's 81 degrees right now in Somerville. Beautiful compared to last week when I was here, where it was like almost 100. It's going to be 84 and 87. So it's going to be beautiful. This is probably one of the best weather weeks we're going to have. Probably low humidity, no more chance of rain for a few days. So enjoy it while you can. We'll be right back, hopefully with Mark soon. Thank you.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and 100 in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and 100 in provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
And we're back. This is Hack 100 and Radio. Again, my name is Jim Minadio. Mark Howe will be with us shortly. And I want to remind you tomorrow, if you're watching this live or if you're watching this tomorrow morning, but on the 25th of July is the monthly Hack 100 and Meetup at the Lone Eagle Brewing Company on Stangle Road in Flemington, where always the first beer is free for our meetup, for those over 21. Minors are allowed to attend. You don't have to be 21 to be there. You just can't drink the beer, obviously. Tomorrow's guest speaker will be the co-owner of the brewery, Bob King. He was a recent guest on this show. He's going to discuss the technology that goes into making beer, and he'll be bringing out some ingredients that the audience will vote on, and we're going to make a special Hack 100 in batch. We'll call it HH beer or something like that. We'll come up with a name for it. He's going to brew it. By the August meetup, at the end of August, we will be hopefully drinking it and loving it, and who knows, it may make it to his lineup of beers that he sells regularly. So look forward to that. Again, it's the 25th of July tomorrow, Thursday evening. It starts at 7. We go till about 9 o'clock, and people usually hang out until it closes. So it's a good way to just meet other technology people. It's a good way to network. There's people who are in all different kinds of technology. There are computer programmers, there are manufacturers, finance people go there, people who are selling, people who are creating, people who are editing. I mean, there's all different kinds of jobs and companies, large ones, small ones, that are there. And it's a good time to meet and see what's going on in our county. And you'll be surprised how many of your neighbors are just as technology-oriented as you are. So I hope to see you guys there. It's brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the county through the Economic Development Office. And obviously the brewery helps out, too, with giving us the space. So we appreciate that. So while I'm waiting for Mark to show up, I'll be checking over my shoulder, make sure he's not lost in the building here. I'll go over some stories while we're waiting. Again, these are all robotic-oriented. So the first one is actually based off of a company that we sell to, Zero Surge. We actually protect their robots. It's a new company. It's actually been around for a little while, but it's new to most people. It's called Brigo. Now, Brigo is a company that was founded by some former Starbucks people, and they wanted to create a robotic coffee store, basically. So instead of having your old school coffee machine in the building, I see Mark. Come on in. I just was starting with the first story, so that seat right there. Won't even turn your microphone on. Let's just make sure you talk into the. All right, there he is. There's Mark. So officially welcome. I just was. I just advertised the meetup from yesterday, or for tomorrow. I'm sorry. And went over the news and stuff like that. So you didn't really miss much. So that's good. So I just went going over some stories in the news. The first one, again, was this company called Brigo. Are you familiar with them by any chance? Okay, so they're a customer of ours, actually. They discovered our product and use it to protect their robotic coffee system. So imagine you have, instead of going up to a Dunkin' Donuts, which, you know, you go to them, say you're early, you have an early flight, so you go to your Dunkin' at 2 in the morning. Well, it's not a 24-hour Dunkin', so you're out of luck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a 24/7 coffee delivery service, and they're envisioning it for, like, airports, for universities, in, like, your libraries, places where you don't always get an influx of people for coffee, but then there is some sort of 24/7 demand.
Yeah, yeah.
So say, like, they're in the Dell cafeteria, so obviously they run the cafeteria for lunch. You know, people want that 3 o'clock coffee. Well, the cafeteria is closed, so instead of having people have little coffee pots everywhere, they have this little coffee service. And so they actually announced that they're expanding. They're doing the Austin airport, so if you're ever flying through Austin, check it out.
Okay.
They have an app that you can order the coffee. It's not just coffee, all the espressos and all the drinks, other than, I mean, they can't do every single drink that you'd get, like, at a Starbucks, but it is a wide variety. I looked online, and you can see some of the drinks. And basically, this robot makes the coffee for you, and it has it ready for you. So if you say, I need it at 9 o'clock, you show up at 9 o'clock, you put your phone in, it says, all right, the coffee's ready for you. Opens up a little window, and your coffee's there.
It's nice. I mean, that's like if you land in the airport, you turn your phone on.
Exactly.
At airplane mode. I want my coffee when I get off the plane, and you're good to go.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's from Brigo. It's been taking them a while to get started. I think they've probably gone through a few design changes and then trying to get the right size and how much material and all that stuff. Because you do have to have somebody still come and bring the milk, the coffee, and restock the whole system.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, the perishables. I mean, all the perishables, too.
So, so it doesn't – again, the theme I'm sure we'll talk about is that, you know, that having robots doesn't mean that they're taking over your life.
Correct.
You know, you still need humans to do a lot of things. And in the end, you know, you need almost as many humans as you would if you didn't have the robots.
Yes. Yeah.
So, so again, all these stories are robot related. So I found another one. I didn't know. Did you know that ShopRite is going to get into robotic order filling?
I did. Okay, I did see that. Yeah.
Okay. So that was an article in Supermarket News, July 23rd. So ShopRite, which is, Wakefern is the parent company that runs the ShopRite brand, I guess. And so they're working with a company called Takeoff Technologies, which is out of Massachusetts. And they're doing this micro-fulfillment center in Clifton. They were selected as that site to do this. And so it's a basically instead of doing the shop at home and then you see all these people in the store shopping next to you that are fulfilling orders, they will have some sort of robotic picking system.
Okay.
So it's almost like an Amazon order picking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what's different is that's, you know, they must have some refrigeration units and things like that that can handle the different kinds of food. And it's supposed to be scalable. And obviously they're using a lot of different robotic picking pieces of equipment. So, you know, if it works for ShopRite, you know, they have, 353 stores. So
yeah, a lot of different items.
And so, you know, even though you may replace those people that are going around the there's still going to be people in the back, you know, taking the orders and preparing them and mm-hmm. stuff. So
yeah.
They still have humans doing the actual, once they get the bins filled with the different parts, they have to still assemble it and check it for freshness and,
yeah, that's true.
And stuff like that. So
yeah, I've seen them when they've used it to check stock, too. Like they'll have a robot just go up and down the aisle with cameras and scanners to make sure there's enough items and the price is correct in the row, too.
Huh, cool. Okay, so the next story, let's see how much time I have here. My little timer, so I have about 1 minute for the first commercial break. So real quick, the 2020 Olympics is going to be in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be featuring a lot of robots. Obviously, it's Japan, right?
Yeah,
So I was looking at some of the robots that they have, and they have this one called the THR3 interactive system. So it basically will mimic the athlete's motions. So you can actually see what it's like. I guess so like an athlete can high-five the crowd, and so the robot will high-five you exactly the way that athlete high-fived you.
That's cool.
they also have some roving robots that have video screens.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like pull up different events and watch them if you missed it because you're in line to get sushi or something.
Uh-huh.
And they also have a bunch of robots that will help people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So they're big on robotic like butlers and helpers and support things. So there's going to be a lot of robotic butlers going around too, selling drinks and things mm-hmm. like that. So look for that. I'm sure NBC will be playing that up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'll be doing at least 5 or 6 different puff pieces on that.
Yeah.
So I have one more story real quick before the news break, the first commercial break. I didn't know about this until today when I was doing some research on it. I don't know if you know. There's a 100 and has a robotics team for high school kids.
Did not know that.
Okay. It is being sponsored by the Rotary Club.
Okay.
So I'm reached out to them. Hopefully we'll have them as guests.
Yeah.
But they're actually very successful. They won this year the 2019 Impact Award from the RoboCup Junior competition, which is the robotic soccer competition.
Yeah.
They've won 4 national championships, 2 world robotic championships, and then this award.
That's great.
So this is like 7 different awards they've won as a team. They've been to Brazil, Germany, China, and Japan competing over the years. And it started in 2017. The North 100 and Rotary Club was trying to find ways to offer STEM for youth,
mm-hmm.
and they came up with this robotics program. They competed in these tournaments, and they've been winning things like 3D printers for their school and things like that. They've been so successful that, let's see, what was it? I was reading that adding their after school. So a lot of the after school STEM classes were added because of this.
Is that 100 Central or is it all the schools?
This was North 100's Rotary Club.
Okay.
So I don't know where the kids, I'm going to find out more. So this is, I didn't know if you knew about them at all, but I'll give you the information too so you can reach out to them.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure you guys want to have some kind of outreach with them.
Yeah, we do FIRST Robotics with other schools as well.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if this is through the FIRST team or through another group. So, like I said, we'll try to reach out to them, and I think we have a connection through the chamber
okay.
That we can talk to these guys and get them on here and find out more about it. So that's that. So that's let's good. Do some commercials, and then we'll bring on Mark and talk to him.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back here with Mark Howe, the sales manager, right,
of
the Knott's Company. You're located in Berkeley Heights?
Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, yeah.
But you live in Hunterdon County, right?
Live in Hunterdon?
Yes.
Long time.
Okay. You and your brother and your father, right?
Yep.
They're all part of the company. So is your father that founded the company?
No, he's fourth owner.
Okay, the fourth owner.
Yeah,
okay.
It was founded in 1952.
Oh, okay, that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So what were they doing at the beginning before doing the universal robots?
Pretty much strictly pneumatics, couplings, fittings. And then as time went on, it evolved to more pneumatics, electronics, and now conveyors, robotics, et cetera.
Okay. So what do you do for them right now?
So my role is sales manager. I oversee the sales team and also the support team as well. We have a support team that supports all our products. Mm-hmm. And, we just make sure we're supporting the customers, give them the product they need, give them the expertise that they need, and make sure they have somebody to lean on if they got anything going on.
So your robots that you deal with mostly are, you would talk about them as cobots.
Yes.
Right? So explain that concept.
So a cobot is what they call a collaborative robot,
mm-hmm.
and it's designed to work with humans versus replace or against humans from some aspects. But and it's also designed to work in environments without additional safety guarding.
Okay. Right. So you don't have to have a big cage.
Yeah.
You don't have to have special rooms for them.
Mm-hmm.
They can run off of regular house power.
Yep.
They don't need special power. And also what's neat about their robots is you don't need special programming skill.
No, no. It's designed to go right out of the box. And, if you can work a cell phone, work a computer, they're designed with the operator in mind. So you can just start going through a basic program right away.
Yeah, so basically what they do, most of the stuff you deal is based off of an arm, right?
Correct.
So the arm is the platform. So walk me through that. So like say... So arm means you're doing usually moving something.
Yes.
Right? So you're helping, move something along in a process or add something while you move it along, right?
Correct. Yeah, pick and place would be the most generic way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Machine assembly, machine tending, disassembly, depalletizing, deburring. So there's, envision a very dull, dirty, or dangerous job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where they fit in nicely.
Okay. And so how long does it take to learn how to use one of these things?
You could do a basic program. If I'm doing a pick and place, couple positions, simple gripper, 15, 30 minutes. With no experience, it might take an hour to kind of learn where the buttons are. But then the robot can be really complex. Like, you can add a lot of different features, a lot of different code, and it could take a lot longer from that point. But it's either as simple as you want it to be or as complex as you want it to be.
Yeah, so when I went to visit, I visited them. They had an open house a couple months ago when I went, and you had a company in that had some special gripping software or hardware, right?
Yeah.
So what other kinds of hardware can you have? So you can have grippers.
Cameras, software, conveyors. Those are pretty much the core, but there's a number of grippers, vacuum grippers, electric grippers, pneumatic grippers, magnetic grippers. I mean, I could keep going on. Yeah. So
it's basically take whatever your process is. You have a tool that can handle that part.
Yeah.
So what's the smallest part you've had to handle?
Oh, man. We've looked at a small filter for a medical application, and it was, I mean, a couple millimeters. Maybe just a little cylinder shape, real tiny.
So you have like a little pneumatic picker that's like a pen size? And it just sucks it up. And
takes a little vacuum and puts it to where you want to be.
Okay. And what's the biggest thing that you've had to move?
The biggest robot has a weight capacity of 22 pounds. Okay. So anything that can fit in that weight is really the biggest that it could handle.
Okay. So you don't do the big like welding robots and things like that the automotive industry that uses?
Yeah. Those all need guarding, safety. So the biggest one is 22 pounds because of momentum to keep that down, basically.
Okay. And so what kind of customers really – what's your core customer base? So, I mean, it's obviously manufacturing.
Yeah.
Is there like a type of manufacturing that really uses this the most?
Yeah. Packaging, it's real big in for palletizing or loading boxes and machine tending. You know, a manufacturer that may be running 2 to 3 shifts. You know, high turnover, can't find a third shift. That's where the robot fits. You can just load a machine as long as you give it parts and as long as the machine's running.
So the cost for something like these, so if you have a machine tender, he's talking about, so you have like a machine that's doing like cutting out a piece apart and then it spits it out. And so the robot picks it out, puts a new blank in, and then it turns the program back on. And so they'll actually interface with the actual other piece of equipment that's doing the work.
Yeah.
And so then... So what's that cost factor then? So for a manufacturer, is it like is the cutting the line of demarcation at like a $15 an hour, $20 an hour? What's the normal?
That's a good like 15 to 20, 25 in that range. And if you're running 3 shifts, you're going to see payback of anywhere from 4 to 6 months on an investment. If you're running 2 shifts, it might be 9 to 12 months. So. Our ideal payback range is 1 to 2 years, basically. If we can say less than that, then it's a good fit.
So if you need that third shift, and that's what you're doing it for, so you're looking at like a 2-year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at a third shift, you're, half a year maybe.
Okay. Because you'd have to pay more for the third shift and things like that.
Yeah.
So you're saving on that. So with the $15 an hour wage issue happening, especially in like New Jersey, so that makes your product... So it helps you out as a company, but does it hurt? Let's talk about – let's see how much – so we have a couple more minutes before the next commercial break. So why don't we – we'll say that for the second part about how this affects the human aspect. So let's finish up with the robot. So you have – so you do the arms, but you also do other types of robots too, right? Because I've seen you have like the – roving floor kind of robots.
Yeah. The mobile robot. It's not a AGV, autonomous guided vehicle. It's an AMR, an autonomous mobile robot. So it uses lasers and other sensors to determine where it's in space versus a wire on the ground.
Okay. So then it actually needs to map out your floor, and then you tell it where to go. And so those kind of robots are more for like routine things. Like I know the one that Jen was showing me, the trash. Was it for L'Oreal?
Yep.
Totally. So why don't you tell that story? That's an interesting.
So the robot has the ability to tow. So we put a tow hook on it, and the customer had like I'll call it a bus route, for lack of better terms, but picking trash at different locations and just was running garbage in a big loop. And it's a high, like a lot of labor, a lot of walking, multiple labor pieces as well. And it's, it's a dull job. I mean, you really want to push a garbage can around all day. And so the robot would go pick it up, tow it to the cardboard crusher, mm-hmm. pull it in, and then it gets dumped, and then goes right back along its route.
Okay. And so it can just work on its own the whole time. It doesn't get run into anybody. It avoids forklifts, all that. It
avoids people. It's collaborative, so it's always scanning its space. And if I walked in front of it, it's either going to stop or it's going to try to calculate a way around me.
So how does it know how to pick up the tote that it's towing? So when it drops it off, it drops it off at us. But if, say, a human comes and moves it out of the way, how does it know to get it?
That's the challenge. People okay. moving stuff around. But what we see customers do, they'll, like, tape an area out, and they'll say, leave it here, or don't put stuff here. Because you'll see that where they'll put a skid, and they'll be like, why is the robot not parking? Well, there's a skid in the way. It's going to go to wherever you tell it to go every time, basically.
Okay. So there's still more to do with robotics as far mm-hmm. as the intelligence and know, okay, if you move the cart 10 feet down to, like, move 10 feet down.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to be able to see beyond its route.
Yeah. They're adding AI to them mm-hmm. that with cameras that you can position in the facility to predict human beings, forklifts, et cetera. So the robot, so it's kind of like a traffic cop at that point. So if it's a blind corner, it communicates to the robot that somebody's there.
Okay. All right, good. What we'll do is we'll take a commercial break, and then we'll get back and talk about some of the other issues with robotics and maybe alleviate some of your fears mm-hmm. about how they actually are good for us in the long run. So let me get let's see if we get the right one here.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former Special Counsel Robert Mueller is testifying in round two of the House hearings today. Utah Republican Corey Stewart asked Mueller about the leaks that came out of his office, 25 to Stewart's account.
Do you know who anonymously made claims to the press that Attorney General Barr's March 24th letter to Congress had misrepresented the findings of your report?
No.
Sir, given these examples, as well as others, you must have realized that leaks were coming from someone associated with the special counsel's office. What I'd like to ask is...
No, I do not believe that.
Well, sir, this was your work. You're the only one, your office is the only one who had information regarding this. It had to come from your office.
According to the Mortgage Bankers Association, mortgage applications are down about 2% in the last week. The national average interest rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage is 4%. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
All right, we're back. Let's see. New weather. Weather hasn't changed. It's really nice. 81 degrees right now. It's going to be a high of 84 tomorrow, 87 Friday. Again, if you're watching this in the future, then you know how good the weather is going to be. So enjoy it. Again, back here with Mark Howe. I'm Jim Minadio from Zero Surge. Mark's from Knott's Company. The Knott's Company, right?
The Knott's Company, yep.
They have the V in it.
Yeah, that's the technical name.
Yeah. So it's like the college guys, like the Ohio State University. Mm-hmm. So the Knott's Company.
Yeah. More people just shorten it to Knott's. I mean, that's really what it's got to come down to.
Okay. And so we're talking during the break. So the future of robotics, I mean, the one thing everybody's afraid of is that they're taking people's jobs. Mm-hmm. So, and we alluded to that with the $15 an hour wage, because now businesses can go, okay, well, a robot cost me $15 an hour, so I'll just hire a robot because mm-hmm. they don't have benefits, they don't get sick, they don't take, you know, they don't have to pick up kids and all that stuff. So how do you guys alleviate the fears of, you know, the average worker that this is not really the case?
Yeah, no, this is a common conversation that we hear. We actually did some stuff with NJMEP last year to kind of talk about the labor pool, labor gap. I think there's a misnomer on what they're going to do. The challenge more businesses that we talk to now are just they can't fill a position to begin with. So right. So they have production backlogs. They can't run a full third shift. They can't run a full second shift. And so at that point, the robot is now becoming a tool for them, almost like a force multiplier. So you may have three people on that last shift. Now that three people can do more work. Because reality of it, were they really going to hire somebody to begin with for that role?
Right.
And the late shifts have a high turnover. So it's the $15 an hour wage hasn't even been more the priority of, I can't find somebody to fill this position to begin with.
Right. I mean, the stats are there. I mean, because I go to the same meetings you go to from the state. And, I mean, I agree. I sit at a table with seven other manufacturers, and they're all telling me everybody's got gray hair in their shop.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do in 5 years?
Yeah.
Because I can't get kids to come in to take these positions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a shortage. There's a shrinkage in the labor pool. And it's almost like, you know, there's two schools. Like, we have, like, the robotic club, because they're trying to promote STEM in our schools. But there's still a disconnect between the learning of the STEM and actually applying it and being, you know, working in a job where you actually work with physical things.
Yeah.
And you're not just sitting at a desk designing stuff all the time. You know, we have lots of designers and we still need designers, but we also need the people to take care of the equipment, to maintain it. Even your equipment still needs some maintenance. It still needs setup. It still needs somebody to manage it, because it can't manage itself.
No, the robot's only going to do what we tell it to do. So you need the person that understands the technology from a practical standpoint. I think that's the best way to look at it. I mean, how am I going to apply it in, not in theory, but in real world use? And that's what this robot is, kind of a step into that platform. And plus, with the way you use it, a lot of younger generations are coming in. It's like, I mean, like a cell phone or a tablet or something along those lines.
Yeah. So tell, so what are, some success stories then with companies who are able to, like, take one and then, you know, add people or add products even to their lineup because of this?
Yeah, so Universal Robots itself has have case studies of all over the world of different applications. And a common story, a common denominator is A, they weren't able to produce, or they couldn't produce fast enough. But now with the resources, now their sales team can sell more. So they need more people to handle some of the high-value tasks like selling, marketing, administrative, or supply chain management. And the robot is handling some of those dull, repetitive, high-task work. But the robot's working a full, their uptime is greater. And so therefore, they have more parts to sell, and they need more people on the street. So it's kind of like I would say an evolution of jobs at this point.
So it's a little bit of like the tail wagging the dog too, because the robot can do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a sales force that is empowered to sell something that's going to get done faster and projects, so they can compete. So early on, if you're an early adopter of robots, your company's going to do better because you're more adaptive, you're more proactive, you can do things on the fly, because now you don't have to, the cost to retrain a workforce is less.
Yeah. And you have that champion internally that would manage those platforms. And then they can share information with the sales team. It's also a selling tool. Like, yeah, we will meet these dates. We will produce when we say we're going to produce. And then, you know, you utilize the human brain at this point, which is where the value is for humans.
Okay, good. And then, so I have this little, this is from the, I think it's from New Jersey Biz, right? Yeah, the NJ Biz, they have like a newspaper, an old-fashioned newspaper, and I was flipping through it, and I noticed these guys here. So this is you guys donating one of the robots, see if I can hold it up close enough to the camera. But you can go to knotscompany.com, is it?
Yeah, knotsco.com.
Knotsco.com, so it's KNOTTCO.com.
Yeah.
And you can see all the different robots that they have there. But and we'll put it up on the Facebook feed so you could find it too, you have to write it down right now. But all right, so in that picture, what's happening?
So in that picture, we had the opportunity to donate a UR3, which is the smallest robot of the bunch, to the CCM Advanced Manufacturing Program. So they're going to use it as a resource to help educate students on new technology coming out in advanced manufacturing.
So that CCM is
the County College of Morris.
Okay, so hopefully Raritan Valley will be Mm-hmm. One down the road too, but you know they also have a very good manufacturing program. But CCM is definitely one of the leaders in the state for this kind of stuff. Like, how big is that? The facility's got to be huge, right?
The new facility, I think, is going to be 31,000 square feet, which is about double what the space that they have now.
Wow. So that's a big commitment on their part to for training and for – and this is all manufacturing kind of training. This isn't just, you know, engineering per se. It's actually hands-on.
Yeah. I think it's an application of the science, which is – I mean – I personally went to engineering school, very practical. Yeah. I mean, not very practical, very in theory, but this is very practical, which is they come right out of school. I mean, it gives them a little bit of a leg up from that perspective.
Are they tied to the apprentice program that NJMEP is running?
I believe so, and I think they just got a big grant from a federal grant for an apprenticeship program as well.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the other thing that both Mark and I run into a lot with the NJMEP, the Manufacturing Extension Program. So they... That's one of their big pushes is to try to get the kids in is to have an apprentice program. Mm-hmm. You can't just – there really was no school for them to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
You either have a company that buys it like you do, you know, buys your equipment, and then they get trained. But there's no, like, general training on how to maintain a robot because, you know, you're not the only company that sells robots. So it's and a manufacturer may have three or four different brands.
Yeah.
You know, so they need to know what all these terms are.
Yeah. You know. At least understand the whole world that it's going to be in because it's pretty consistent. But, yeah, gives them a leg up when they're trying to get hired because people want automation.
Right. You want it. Well, and you need a credential, right? Yeah. So we're a very credential society. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that robot card or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, manufacturing card, you know, that says, hey, I'm a journeyman, you know, machinist, and so I can do all this and run this equipment. So. So what do you see as the future then? So in the next, say, 5 years, like what are, you know, without giving away company secrets, but what kind of general things do you see, like when you go to these trade shows and stuff for robotics?
Yeah, what we see most is we see the simplification of applying the technology. So versus, say, having to write, you know, 100 lines of code, you may pick a pre-canned wizard and say, all right, I want to do a screwdriving application. So it gives you all the steps, gives you what you need to enter. I think the investment of the technology, the growth technology, is shrinking the time to set the robot up and put it to work. And even in some AI starting to jump in there, not from a, you know, take over the world perspective, but where the robot can improve how it's doing its work over time by, you know, keeping that data and making adjustments accordingly.
Okay, so doing more like a quality.
Yeah.
Like control charting its own work.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll like dispense like glue, and it'll measure how much glue came out and say, okay, well, I mean, will there be like a loop then with the next step that says, hey, you put too much glue?
Yeah, yeah.
And then would the robots start talking to each other and saying, hey, you know, you screwed up. You should have been doing this, or you put it in my area, or I can't do this now.
Yeah, then they'll take a coffee break and they'll start doing that too. Yeah,
they'll start fighting each other.
Yeah, but we'll see like a camera, like they have multiple inputs. So a camera, just like a basic webcam, would be over, take a picture of the space, and then in the black box of AI says, "All right, you're a little off, so let's recenter your path." Type deal, versus a human doing that QC.
Yeah, so that's even something a human can't do because you would never work well with somebody staring over your shoulder, telling you, wait a minute, you dribbled over to me over here, or you didn't turn that screwdriver, you know, enough torque on it or something. So, so that's cool. So that's one thing. Is there any other things that are they talking like? I mean, these arms are the way to go now, or are they going to end up making mobile? Is mobile like stuff that Boston? What's that company, Boston?
Boston Dynamics.
You know, their big thing is trying to make a mobile robot that can work in a factory, like stack boxes and be like mobile. But your stuff is mostly stationary or on a little cart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Is there other companies besides Boston Dynamics that are working on like a biped kind of stuff, or
not from a biped, but from with mobile industrial robots and universal robots, they have code to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put a universal robot arm onto one of these mobile carts and just drive it by battery power. It's not as accurate because the mobile cart's got a little different tolerance, but it gives you the ability to move that arm to different stations per se, and just run off of battery power versus having it plugged in the wall the whole time.
Okay. Is there going to be Is there a universal program that these robots talk to each other? Is there a standard that's out there so that company A's robot and company B's robot can talk to each other?
Ethernet IP. I mean, you could talk through that. But code-wise, the code of a universal robot is universal robots' code.
Okay.
It's their own script language. And Mir has their own.
Okay. So there, it's not like, say, like you can, like I can use Microsoft Word, create a Word document, and then save it as an Adobe PDF. So those are two different companies, mm-hmm. and they've somehow worked it out between the two of them somehow, where they, you know, I'm not that versed in that, that aspect of it, but, you know, it works. So there's nothing like that in the analogy in the robotic world.
Not yet. Probably due to the competitive nature of the robot world. But there's ways for different machines to communicate in some form or some, like even just a basic signal. But we'll see Ethernet IP is one of the main ways to communicate back and forth.
So you're gonna, so there's not going to be some kind of like ASCII kind of table of this means, you know, you're in my way, like a universal symbol for that. There's not going to be some consortium that gets together and says, hey, you know, this code means robots in trouble. This code means robot dropping off something.
I could see it potentially evolving to that. I know there's standards for the safety perspective, like an ISO spec for what's collab or how you do a risk assessment of an application. But from like a code of like a gripper talking to this robot, they're mostly written in that language.
So it's still going to be whatever company then has the best product that's going to win out then.
In that
aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see, we have about a minute or two left. Anything else that I'm missing that?
No, from a communication standpoint, what's nice about, like, say, Universal Robots is they've kind of created an ecosystem of products around them that communicate seamlessly with them, making applications in the end easier, which is kind of like what we were talking about, but it's like, you know, Gripper A is designed to work with UR. Just plug it in and go, basically. But from robot to robot, that's where it gets gray.
Yeah, so then it's more for the operator. So I'm used to programming on this tablet to make this arm work. So then it's a matter of, well, it's just changing the bit and what it can do.
Yeah.
And it's because it's a physical thing, it's pretty easy to understand because it's, instead of turning something, it's, you know, operating a tool. So it's a physical thing. So you don't, so most people don't have to worry about, you know, the training is very quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's more of a physical thing. Okay. Nice. All right, so we'll take a quick break again, and then we'll talk about the history of the word robot and where it comes from and why, how that really has affected how we look at robots in movies and even in reality. So we'll be right back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back. Jim Minadio from Zero Surge, Mark Howe from the Knotts Company here, and we're talking robots today. So the last story, usually I do some kind of historical thing. We did, in honor of the Apollo mission, we did like the seven inventions that are still being used today When Bob was here, we did, because it was 4th of July week, so we did like the founding fathers that did inventions, mm-hmm. and which president, what's the only president that has a patent, which I don't know if you didn't watch that show probably, so you didn't. Do you know that answer?
I don't know the answer.
The answer is Lincoln.
Okay.
He's the only president that has a patent.
What's it in?
It is for raising boats off of a sandbar.
Okay.
It was like adding like air bladders some kind to put underneath the boat to raise it so it can get off of a sandbar.
It's a cool piece of history.
So, yeah. So, robots. Okay. So, in 1920 was when the word robot was actually coined. It was a science fiction play by the Czech writer Karel Kapcek. Or Kapek. I don't know the Czech pronunciation. It's got one of those squirrely letters over the C, so I don't know if that makes it a hard C or a Kapek, maybe, probably. And so the play was called R-U-R. Stood for Rasimovi Usin, you know, the, I don't know, Universali Roboti. Now, the English phrase... kind of turned it into Rossum's Universal Robots has been the subtitle whenever they perform the play, which I've never heard of anybody performing it. But it premiered in 1921, and it introduced the word robot to the English language and to science fiction as a whole. So the word robot means a forced slave.
Okay.
So that's what your robots are. They're forced slaves. So, you know, when they want to get... emancipated, you'll see that's where that comes from. But in the world of robots that he created, the robots, were actually made from organic matter. Okay. So it wasn't like a mechanical thing. It was more like a clone. So it was more like this scientist created this living being out of this organic soup of some kind, and they call them robot. But they were, they couldn't think for, so, let's see. They seemed happy to work for humans at first. So I guess, reading through it gives you too fast the ending there. So basically, so you have this group that it's just kind of a weird play. It probably was one of these avant-garde kind of plays back in the 20s when, you know, the roaring 20s and everybody's just finding different ways to party.
Yep.
So it was, but basically it's kind of a silly story, but it's interesting in that it really ties into what the issues with robots today. So the first is that the robots were, you know, they were able to, do things, but they didn't really have a mind on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They were cheap, they were available all around the world. And they ended up becoming so ingrained in society that humans stopped creating babies, and so the population of humans went down, and these robots took over. So, but the problem is, okay, so then there's this woman that gets involved, and she wants the robots to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also, like, even San Francisco's talking about even taxing robots, which we really didn't get into. But but the robots don't like anything in this world, so they don't have any feelings. And they said that, you know, paying them would be a waste because they wouldn't spend it on anything because they're robots.
Yeah.
So I guess they didn't go over how they had energy or food or anything. So as this goes through, basically what happens is the robots start basically killing everybody because they want to take over. But they leave the one human behind because they need him to be able to make more robots. So if you're a robot manufacturer, you're going to be the last one. You're good to go. And so I'll skip to the end where he said the robot government attempted to search for surviving humans to help the robot inventor, but they weren't able to find any. And it means that in order for for him to figure out and complete the formula, he would have to actually kill a robot in order to be able to dissect it to figure out how to make more.
Uh-huh.
And so this is like the circle of life. So then he's going to have to start killing robots, and it'd be the first. And so he makes this robot man and woman who end up becoming the new Adam and Eve, and then they take over the planet. So it's kind of like this world kind of turned on itself. But it's mm-hmm. it's the first time, you know, it's the first robot play, and the fact that it was, you know, anti-human, it stuck, because then the next set of plays, that's what happened. And so, like, the Soviet Union even adapted this play in 1935, and they turned it into a communist propaganda, you know, that the workers become robots, and then that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So another negative world about robots. Isaac Asimov even is quoted as saying, in his opinion, this is the worst play he's ever seen, but it's immortal for that one word. He says it contributed to the word robot, not only in English, but through English to all the languages in which science fiction is now written. And his book, Laws of Robotics, are specifically and explicitly designed to prevent the kind of situation that was depicted. Mm-hmm. So he was the one already fighting against the winds of this. And so that's how it all got started. I'm trying to see if there's any other interesting. There was, I guess there's a lot of references to this. And like you were mentioning during the break, that you saw one of the universal robots in Westworld.
Yeah.
So if you watch a lot of these robot movies, you'll see things like in iRobot, they reference Rossum is like the name of the laboratory or mm-hmm. something. So it's like the Doctor Who had the robots of death, and that was a reference to this play. Is it Space Hunter, the Adventures of the Forbidden Zone? The girl's reading a copy of this mm-hmm. play. You know, so there's a lot of little Easter eggs in the robotic world. You'll see referencing RUR.
Yeah.
is kind of the acronym you'll see, or they'll be referring to Rossum or some name mm-hmm. related to Rossum, or Helena was the woman that was trying to save them. So you'll see that in movies. So seems like every show I have some kind of movie reference, so yeah. That's it just fits. All right, so we have a couple minutes left. Is there anything else that I left off that we need to cover?
No.
Robotic-wise? Okay, so so if you want to get more information, contact Mark at what's your email? Mhow?
It's mhowe, at Knottsco, KNOTTSCO.com.
Okay, and again, they're local, so you can come out and see you if you're in the local New Jersey area. But you have there's other companies like yours around the country too. So
yep.
If somebody happens to be watching this in California, then you can refer them to your, or do you guys go out to California?
We don't go to California, New Jersey and Metro New York.
That's your territory.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you went to Chicago, that was just a visit.
That was a visit of a manufacturer.
Manufacturer. Yeah. Okay. But you have, so their manufacturers come from all around the world then.
Yes. Oh,
so
yeah.
You have ones in Europe, ones in
Japan.
US, Japan.
The Universal Robots are manufactured in Denmark.
Okay.
And then they ship them over here to the customer. You take it out of the box, you get going.
Okay. One question I didn't ask was, what's the life expectancy of a robot?
So
your robot.
Yeah, the life expectancy of a UR robot is they rate it at 35,000 hours max speed, max payload. So that's about continuous 4 years max speed, max payload. And there's no preventive maintenance on the robot during that time, except maybe the fan cover on the control box, making sure.
Dusting it, cleaning it off, that kind of stuff. Okay, so when people are talking about the wage issue too, is you got to realize these robots don't last forever too. So mm-hmm. there is a floor where the value is gained with these things.
Yeah, I mean, they don't fail at the end of that time. They might degrade performance a little bit, but the joints are replaceable. So you pop a new joint in, whatever's failing. And again, they still have robots running that are about 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Good. And if they had zero surge protecting them, they'd last even longer.
Yeah.
See how that works? Okay, so I guess that's it. So thank you, Mark, for coming out. Thank you to all the new fans that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Again, we'll save this on YouTube on the Zero Surge channel, and it will be on Facebook, so you can link to it or pull from there. Thanks to the Chamber for giving me the opportunity, Mark and his team at Economic Development for their encouragement and support, the gang back at Zero Surge, Donna, Deb, Jen, Tony, Dave, John. Thanks to my wife and kids, and to all the rest of you innovators out there. The original meaning of the word innovator was that you were a rebel, so keep rebelling against the doubters. and make your ideas a reality.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former Special Counsel Robert Mueller sat down for two different House hearings today on Capitol Hill. As the second hearing began before the House Intelligence Committee, the top Republican on that committee, California Congressman Devin Nunes, wonders why everyone is even here.
Welcome, everyone, to the last gasp of the Russia collusion conspiracy theory. The Democrats have argued for nearly 3 years that evidence of collusion is hidden just around the corner. Like the Loch Ness Monster, they insist it's there, even if no one can find it.
On Wednesday, a federal judge left the Trump administration's rules that imposes restrictions on individuals seeking asylum in the United States if they pass through a third country on their way between the United States and Mexico, potentially leading to a sharp reduction in Central American migrants entering the United States. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Queen has sworn in the UK's new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. Johnson making his first address outside 10 Downing Street.
The doubters, the doomsters, the gloomsters, they are going to get it wrong again. The people who bet against Britain are going to lose their shirts because we're going to restore trust in our democracy.
Johnson is also vowing to get a better deal from the EU on Brexit. Trade talks continue in China next week.
My expectation is there'll be a few more meetings before we get a deal done. So I wouldn't expect we'll resolve all the issues, but the fact that we're back at the table, the direction of the two presidents is important.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin speaking outside the White House as he and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will head to Shanghai on Monday, where they'll meet with their Chinese counterparts. The FTC is slapping Facebook with a $5 billion fine over the company's privacy policy. This all stems back to them improperly using data of 87 million Facebook users. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The Democratic-led House of Representatives passed a bill that would increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2025. But that's not good enough for some progressive Democrats, including Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib, who's pushing for a $20 an hour minimum wage. Personal finance expert Chris Hogan says we have to see this for what it is.
Well, first and foremost, let's call it what it is. This is a political stunt. This is a thing to try to pander to people to try to get them emotional. She's in a diner speaking to people that can totally relate.
Yeah.
Right? First and foremost. But if we do the math on that, and if we were to look at going to 15, what's next? 20? 25? It's not going to solve anything. If anything, it's going to create less jobs for these entry-level positions. So it's actually going to do a disservice to people.
Hogan was also asked on Fox News, what is a reasonable minimum wage?
Well, you know, I'm one of those people as a self-employed kind of mentality. I understand that your raise is effective when you are. So I can't necessarily come out and give you a hardcore dollar amount.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is this. People out there can start to feel economic growth for themselves if they follow the plan that I teach. Get yourself out of debt, get yourself on a budget, and have an emergency fund. When you get out of debt, you give yourself a raise. Mm-hmm. Listen, we can move the minimum wage to whatever number until people learn the skills of how to effectively manage. manage money, they're never going to feel the real progress.
Yeah.
For more news, please remember you can find us online at usaradio.com or on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. Today we have two very exciting interviews in store, but first, here is your live and local forecast.